friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, this good Friday, March the 29th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. And yes, my friends, I know we are going to speak about Easter today because those are I always look to the readings for the coming weekend, right? Well, there are so many readings we could be reading this weekend, but the focus is the same, right? The focus is the resurrection of Jesus. But I am coming to you. I am laying this down. I'm uploading this podcast on Good Friday morning. And so even though some of you may listen to this before Easter and may be on Good Friday, maybe on Holy Saturday, and we don't want to jump from Good Friday to Easter too quickly because both have their meaning, both have something to say to us very deeply. The readings I'm going to share with you today, and they're both from the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday night, they will speak to the realities of Good Friday in Easter Sunday. And aptly given to us on Holy Saturday. It's so good. It's so good. So, for those of you who like to follow along, these are the readings that I'll be giving to you, proclaiming this morning. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 11. Now, this is the epistle that we hear during the Easter Vigil service. It is right after the lights come up. And the Gloria is sung. It's so good. It's so good. Gosh, I just think about the Easter Vigil and think, oh, I can't wait. Again, Romans 6, 3 through 11. And then the gospel we're going to read is actually the gospel from the Easter Vigil that night, too. So after our Alleluia is finally sung for the first time in 40-some days, right? Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. So those are the readings we're going to hear. So however it is, my friends, that you prepare yourself to open yourself, to hear, to receive the Word of God, invite you to do that at this time. And let's break open God's Word together, shall we? A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. For if we have grown into union with him through a death like his, we shall also be united with him in the resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that our sinful body might be done away with, that we might no longer be in slavery to sin. For a dead person has been absolved from sin. If then we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has power over him. As to death, he died to sin once and for all. As to his life, he lives for God. Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Isn't that awesome? I know, I'm a nerd. As always, if there was a phrase, if there was an idea, an image, whatever it was, if something stood out to you, invite the Spirit to simply stay with you in that space, in that word, that image, that phrase, that idea, whatever it is. And let the Spirit of God speak to you, not just in this moment, but in this day, in these days, in this week, through what you just heard. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early, when the sun had risen, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They were saying to one another, who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were utterly amazed. He said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, as he told you." My friends, the gospel, the good news of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, the news does not get any better than what we just heard. It doesn't. If we are looking for better news, I don't know what we're looking for. This is the greatest feast day of our church liturgical year. And therefore, that is the greatest feast day that we will approach, that we will experience in our lives. That death does not have the final answer. But remember, right? Remember how I said, listen, Easter Sunday and Good Friday go hand in hand. We cannot have one without the other. They are intertwined. And we see it through these readings, particularly, I mean, very obviously, in the reading from Romans that we just heard. But non-obviously in the gospel that we just heard. Let's break it open. I know I'd like to keep these at a reasonable time limit. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Let's take a look at it this week and see where it goes. Brothers and sisters, if you've never been to an Easter vigil, I urge you to go at some point. Maybe, you know, you're going to read or hear this in time and you'll be like, well, this is the year. Let's go on Saturday night. Put your watches aside. I always say that. It's going to be a longer mass. If you think you're going to go in and out of there in an hour, you're not. It's just not going to happen. Figure it's going to be two and a half. It may be three if you read all the readings. That's okay. Allow the experience. Allow the symbols and the signs. Because it is the liturgy par excellence. It is the one throughout the whole year that has more signs and symbols in it. Allow them to wash over you and allow them to speak to you at a level, not just of the head, because that's what we do all the time as Westerners, but speak to you at a level of the spirit, of the soul, of the heart, because that's what signs and symbols do. And the two signs and symbols, more than anything else for the Easter Vigil, that point toward Easter, by the way, are water and light, water and light, water and light. It is. That's what it is. That's what Easter is about. It's the Easter fire, which we begin with the Easter vigil with, right? The Easter candle coming in darkness, that it is the soul light in the midst of darkness. And it just sits there by the ambo as we proclaim the scriptures from the Hebrew Bible. And we remember our story. It's almost like we're at a campfire, right? And we're telling the stories again. But then that light, you know, is spread to all of us and ultimately comes on and the whole sanctuary is lit in that moment of resurrection. As I said, it's just when the glory is sung right before we hear Romans. We go from the Hebrew scriptures to the Christian scriptures, to the new, what we call the New Testament, just before Romans is sung and everything is lit up. And we see, you know, the sanctuary all it's just so beautiful. It's got the flowers everywhere and you know, everything that was stripped the day before is back and the water comes in. And this is where we go from light to water. And the focus becomes the baptismal font, because the waters of Easter and everything is blessed. And the Easter candle goes in there and blesses the water, and we're sprinkled with the water. And it's just, you know, if there are any baptism that happens then, it's the focus. It is so awesome. Okay, Joe, why are you being nerd and nerding out? Because that's everywhere. I mean, darkness and light, right? Dryness and water. or the water of baptism, death and resurrection. That's where it is. The Easter Vigil meets us. I mean, I guess it's perfect. I said it before. It lands between Good Friday and Easter Sunday because it's a meeting place of those two realities. And they are ultimate realities, aren't they? Death and life. Death and life. And we cannot have one without the other. And that's a scary thing. Okay, Romans, brothers and sisters, are you unaware? I mean, this Paul is unabashed in what he says here. My friends, you disciples, okay, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Sit there with that. Are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Not just into his resurrection. Oh, I don't like that, though. We want to go right to the resurrection. That's what we are. We are an Easter people. All true. But we can't get to resurrection without getting to death. We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead, yep, that's part of it too. That is part of it. Just as Christ was baptized, raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too might we live in newness of life. Resurrection comes. It is, again, God's gift. We have no right over it. We have no claim to it. It is all grace. But resurrection is a gift from God. When? After we participate in the death. You know, I was sitting there last night, Renee and I went to Holy Thursday liturgy. And I don't know if you did too, but the psalm, right? You know, you hear the first reading, which is the Passover. And we know the gospel, it's the washing of the feet and everything. But did you hear the psalm if you were there? This is what it says, the verse that we sang. And it just sounds so melodic. We sing it and we don't think about it. Our blessing cup is a communion in the blood of Christ. Right? Our blessing cup is a communion in the blood of Christ. Brothers and sisters, do you hear what that says? The blessing cup. Everything, you know, on Holy Thursday goes to the Eucharist, right? It's the center of what the liturgy is about. That communion that we share. But it puts it right in front of us. That cup that we share, it's a communion, meaning we share the blood of Christ. Not just the wine, not that we just say amen to it, and that is what we carry within us. It means we share in the blood that Jesus shared in. We share in his death. We participate in it. Good Friday. Good Fridays are hard, but we must sit in it because Easter Sunday doesn't come unless and until we walk through Good Friday. We are called to carry the cross of Christ. Now, you may be saying, Joe, you've talked about that the last 2 weeks, and I did. I did only simply because the readings did, right? Because Jesus is going to Jerusalem, and he's there, and we heard the Passion last week, and all of that. But brothers and sisters, that death, let me say it this way. We are our evangelical brothers and sisters, bless them, I love them. They have so much to teach us. But many of them will simply say, you know, all we need to do is accept the Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're in, we're done. You know, say this prayer, whatever that looks like, and make sure we say, yes, I believe, Jesus, that you have done the work, and heaven is ours. Now listen. It's all grace. They're pointing to grace for us, and we need not turn away from that, okay? They've got part of the truth there. But here's the deal. What the slippery slope is that they're inviting us to is that Jesus did all of the work, and we simply are spectators. Thank you, Lord, for carrying that cross 2,000 years ago. You are awesome. And we're simply going to watch here, and we're going to say, you know, crucify him when we read the Passion, and we're going to remember that you did that, but you did all the work, so we don't have to. So, you know, we get to share in the resurrection, which is awesome. Brothers and sisters, let me say very clearly, that is not Catholic thought. That is not Catholic thought. Catholic thought is we, brothers and sisters, participate in the law, life of Christ. That we are co-creators, that we continue the work that Jesus left undone during his time on earth, and that we participate in that, in the life of Christ, the fullness, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, that we participate. We are not spectators. We do not just look back and say, isn't that wonderful that happened 2,000 years ago, and I'm new because of it. We say, yes, I will walk into it. We have a choice to make. Will we participate in carrying our cross? Now, what does that mean to carry your cross? I'm going to give you my thoughts. And please know my thoughts are incomplete. I'm going to share what my opinion is now. Please know I do this humbly and knowing this is not the fullness of it. And it's okay to disagree 100% with me. I don't think, brothers and sisters, where I am right now, I don't think the physical maladies that we carry are necessarily the cross that we bear. I don't think the suffering that we carry with us in life is necessarily our cross, quote unquote, to bear. I think we are called to bear these things with humility and grace and life and goodness. Don't get me wrong in that. But I don't know that that's the cross that we bear. I think, brothers and sisters, that the cross we bear is the deaths that we experience for living and continuing the work and the ministry of Jesus Christ here on earth. And just as Jesus ran up against the systems of this world by living the systems and the kingdom of God, right? By choosing the kingdom of God, he ran up against the kingdoms of the world and experienced death because of that. When we choose the kingdom of God and run up against the kingdom of the world, which is clearly still happening, the ways and the means and the systems of this world, and we experience prejudice, we experience being outcast, pariahs, we experience outright rejection, because that I think that's the cross of Christ, brothers and sisters. We experience it sometimes through enemies, sometimes through friends, sometimes through coworkers, sometimes people close to us, sometimes people not close to us. I want to read to you from Richard Rohr. This is a meditation book that I am currently reading with him. This is from this morning, Good Friday's word, and I'm just going to read maybe four sentences, five. These are his words, and they kind of describe, I think, where I'm pointing, but here's what he says. When one attempts to live the reign of God in this world, one comes to know the cross through misunderstanding, difficulty, privation, persecution. To take the cross means turning your face against the darkness and arrogance of Jerusalem when it tries to supplant the city of God. The cross is our obedience to the price of truth and love, with no assurance that it is going to work. In other words, the cross, but now this is me again. In other words, brothers and sisters, the cross is when we choose the city of God against the city of Jerusalem, when they are trying to make the city of Jerusalem or the city of Kiel or wherever it is that you live, something that is not the kingdom of God. And when we choose the kingdom of God, we may receive that persecution, that rejection, with no assurance, and I love this line of his, with no assurance that it is going to work, meaning that our us choosing the kingdom of God may feel like foolishness, and we may feel like that we did not succeed, quote-unquote, in what we did. I suspect Jesus didn't feel like he succeeded on the cross either, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Brothers and sisters, death is part of it. But if we participate in that life, ministry, death, and resurrection, or death of Christ, we participate in the resurrection too. We are not spectators. We are participants. And this is so good. Now, let me use one more example, and then let's get to Easter, and then I'll close us because I've already gone 20 minutes. The young man in the gospel. Did you hear it? I love it. It's one of my favorite things I love about it. We only hear it in Mark's gospel, right? Very early on Sunday morning, blah, blah, blah. They said to one another, who will roll back the stone for us? But they looked up and they saw the stone been rolled back. And on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe. And they were utterly amazed. And he said, do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. And then he says, go tell disciples and Peter. He'll meet them in Galilee. Now, immediately, I think we can think, oh, that was an angel. Maybe, but it doesn't say an angel in Mark's gospel. I think we think that because of the other gospels, right? Particularly John's and, is it Luke's? Who used the word angel? But Mark doesn't. Mark uses the word a young man who's in a white robe. Joe, why would that be important? Were you at Palm Sunday last week and you read the Passion? Part of the Passion was this odd line. After Jesus gets arrested in the garden, okay, he's talking to them and they arrest him. And there are these lines, and this is Mark chapter 14, this is the Passion we heard last week, verses 50 to 52. And they all left him and fled, meaning all the disciples left him and fled after Jesus gets arrested in the garden. Now a young man followed him wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They seized him. But he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. Mark's is the only gospel that has that odd line. There's a young man. Who is it? We don't know who this is. A young man who followed him wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They seized him, but he got away, wrangled out of it, ran off naked, and left his robe behind. Okay. Now you can just think, odd line, but let's keep moving forward. Jesus goes to the high priest. Here's what I think, and I credit this to John Shea. This is not my thought. I wish it were. John Shea is where I first came across this. But John's thought, and mine is, the young man that's in the tomb on Easter Sunday, what's he clothed with? He's clothed with a white robe, the white robe of baptism, right? And in the Passion, after Jesus is arrested, he runs off in fear. And he's naked. But ultimately, come Easter, and I don't mean just 2 days, when we have come to the understanding, Jesus is the Christ. And yes, this is what my life is about. We are clothed in white. That ultimately he made that choice. Remember when I said, we are not spectators. We are participants. We must choose. We must choose Christ. This young man did. This is going from death to life. I think it's Mark's part. It's his way of showing it. It might be him. Mark may be writing himself in this gospel. And if I were a betting man, that's what I would bet. Then Mark is saying, I used to be one that ran from persecution. I used to be one that ran from the title of Christian. I used to be one that hid behind it or wouldn't share it. But now I've grasped it. And here I am in the white robe proclaiming, you see Christ here in the tomb. No, he's not here. He's been raised, just as he said. Right? I mean, honestly, it's the choice and it's the journey you and I must make. It's the journey you and I are invited into, at a very minimum, from death to life. And it's right there in front of us. Remember what I said? Light, fire, and water are the two symbols of the vigil, of the two symbols of Easter for us, truly. And our baptism, we wear those white robes, we're given that. At our confirmation, we choose it. It's why they're called twin sacraments. But we must choose that which we clothe ourselves. Last night, again, Renee and I were at the Holy Thursday Mass. And the first reading, of course, is the Passover lamb, right? It says, you know, put the blood on your door lintels, and when the angel of death comes, he'll pass over your house and go to ones that don't have it. And I thought, really, would the angel of God need that? Would he not know? And I think the angel of God wouldn't need that at all. God knows who's inside, knows who's not. But we have to make a conscious outward choice for God or away from God. Who are we with? That's what this invites us to. This young man did. Brothers and sisters, this is the greatest day of the year, because that stone which locks in all of that, you know, that death inside of us, that locks in all of that baggage we carry, all of our regrets and our hurts and our fears and all of that stuff, it's been rolled away. It's been rolled away. And I don't think, brothers and sisters, this is where I am in life, I don't think it was rolled away so Jesus could get out of the tomb. Goodness sakes, keep reading the gospel, right? Jesus is coming into their locked room without, you know, he was going through walls. He didn't need the door open. Jesus could have done whatever he wanted. I think that stone was rolled away, one, to let all that crap and that baggage we carry out so life can get in, right? But two, so we could look in and see death. Death doesn't hold what we think it holds. We think death holds so much power, but it only holds that because it's in darkness. But when we shed light on it, we see it is empty. Death holds nothing. Why? Because life has the last answer. We can look into that tomb and see it holds nothing. It's how Paul in 1 Corinthians, right, 15 can say to us, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? It's wrapped up in the victory of Christ. That's where it is. It holds nothing. Brothers and sisters, this is the best day. This is the best day. Because if God can make the absolute worst thing that ever happened in the world, which is humanity rejecting God, and he can make it the absolute best thing, which is I'm going to take that death and I'm going to make life out of it. He can take whatever you and I are going through, whatever crosses we carry, whatever hurts we carry, whatever it is that we are going through, and he can make it new. He can make it new. We do not need to be afraid. Brothers and sisters, we are not spectators. We participate, yes, in the death, in the blood of Christ. Our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ. Those are scary words. But you know what? We participate, as Paul says, if we die with Christ, we will rise with him. And that's what we celebrate today, is resurrection. Life has the last word. Happy Easter, my friends. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. The first glorious mystery, Jesus rises from the dead. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. Happy Easter to you. Be well.